Well, I mean, it was a huge sort of metal cold tin bath. I think it was in the lounge, and then my mother used to bring in the hot water. To be honest, we didn't really know any different then, so it was normal.
That was Julie Hardy. It's easy to forget that bathrooms are a recent luxury. Judy Goldsmith is a member of Jacobs Wells Hub.
One of the reasons I'm so interested in it is I come from a house without a bathroom, and I myself bathed in a tin bath for many years. My parents either bathed at work or went to warm baths. I think it's part of hidden history that's actually a big part of people's lives. It affected everybody.
My mother and my grandfather, they used to come across on the ferry from Coronation Road, mid-20s, 1920s, to have a bath because they only had a tin bath in front of the fire.
Me and my husband used them when we got married. We got a flat-up cotton bell and it had no bathroom. And my husband used to use the bath every week. And I've gone there as well. That's how we kept clean. Yeah. They used to run the water for you. We wouldn't bath together.
That was Sue Wilkins and Pat Baker.
It had 6 women's warm baths, 6 men's first-class warm baths and 18 men's second-class warm baths. In Victorian times, the workers didn't mix with their bosses when they were bathing.
For 80 years, local people came to wash away the dirt of daily life. John Park and Judy Goldsmith are local historians who have researched and presented the story of the baths.
The baths opened in 1889 and everything was done of the highest quality. And if you look at the minutes of the bath committee when the baths were being planned, it's fascinating to see how hard some people fought to actually provide the very best baths. The population that it was built to serve went right the way down Hotwells Road, where there was a large number of very poorly maintained buildings and a great deal of poor people.
They were built because of cholera. Also, they were used for verminous children too on occasion. But the baths were a huge luxury, enormous cast iron enamelled baths, very well scrubbed, very clean. And people who have described it, as me, said it was like having your own private swimming pool for pennies. I think people were treated with dignity and people enjoyed their baths.
Malcolm Hussey Yeo.
So every Saturday, regular as clockwork, whether we needed a bath or not, we would come down to Jacob's Wells and have a hot bath. And I just remember them as being the most wonderful baths and as much hot water as, you know, you could get out of the attendant, because it was all down to him, because the taps were actually outside the cubicle and the spout would come through. It was all really clean, you know, tiled floors, pretty cold except for the hot water from the bath. So once it was full, you jumped in and you sort of stayed there as long as you could. And I can't remember exactly how long you got. It depended on how many people were waiting, really, I suppose.
But one early user of the baths was not at all impressed with the hot water.
Letter to the Bristol Mercury, April the 11th, 1892. Sir, I recently purchased a ticket from the office at Jacobs Wells Baths. To my surprise, the attendant stated that owing to the failure of the draught in the boilers, no hot water could be obtained. I then walked into the boiler house, where I saw 2 splendid Galloway tubular boilers, with 1 fire grate to each. The boiler room was completely enveloped in smoke, while the large amount of sulphur was most unendurable. On opening the furnace doors, I found the fires were almost devoid of flame. If my memory serves me rightly, the baths cost the citizens nearly £17,000. It is only right that the ratepayers should be brought acquainted with such a condition of things in a public institution.
Engineering problems resolved, the baths serviced their community for the next 80 years. Claire McEwen, as a child from a well-to-do family, used the swimming pool in the 1950s and glimpsed another world through the steam.
Before I went there, I didn't know that there was such a thing as a public bath, that some people would go there to wash because they didn't have bathrooms at home. That it was one of the few experiences that I had as a young child where I was meeting people from all over the city, from a variety of backgrounds and a variety of economic circumstances, because my growing up was very circumscribed and I resented that a lot and wanted to kind of break out.
You had a bath usually on a Friday night or a Saturday. You worked for the week and you'd have your bath and change into your clean underwear, and on a Saturday you might go out afterwards. In the 1970s, before they closed, young men would go with a group of mates and they'd be singing and they were also smoking. So there would be smoke going up to the ceiling and they'd be chatting to each other.
But times changed and people came to expect to have a bathroom at home.
I came for a hot bath for a couple of years until I met my wife in 69, I suppose. And then we actually got a flat with a bath.
Everybody else is getting bathrooms. So I have a memory of my father installing a bathroom. They had a spare bedroom and he put the bathroom in there with his friend called Jock. And Jock stepped back when the floor was up and there was a leg through the kitchen ceiling and it was Jock's leg with a tap on it.
Of course, some people still needed the facilities. It wasn't as simple as putting in a bathroom at home.
After they closed the swimming bath, they actually kept the warm baths open because of sewer operatives who had free use of the baths, because of visiting sailors, because lorry drivers who'd been used to having that facility would expect to come and have a bath at Jacob's Wells Bath. So they were kept open for 6 months after the swimming pool was closed.